Morning, everybody. If you have your Bibles, please open with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that's before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Not just no rain, but also no dew. No, you know, if you go outside in the morning now, the grass is pretty wet. That's how it lives when it's not raining. You know, so amazing enough to not rain, but also to never hit the dew point that makes dew on the grass anywhere. Now that is miraculously no rain. I'd like to say that it is my opinion, you know, because I always add my imagination to these things, that when Elijah announced this, that they just laughed him to scorn. Right? They must have thought that was the dumbest thing they ever heard, and who is this guy? Nobody tried to seize him. Nobody took him as a threat or thought he was serious. He just came and said, "There'll be no rain, no dew, nothing. Here it comes. Get ready. Because you've turned from God." And so what the representation of no rain and no dew and no water from heaven whatsoever is a representation of a spiritual condition, right? The spiritual condition of thirst, of no relief, of not ever getting any relief from your state. These are the people that Jesus called to when he said, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, from his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Speaking about the spirit, speaking about the antidote, if you will, to a spiritual condition. But in this case, where we're back in Elijah's day, we're talking about God essentially saying, "You know what? You guys are done. I'm done fighting and arguing with you. I'm done, you know. We'll see what happens when you don't have any water for a while. No crops, no nothing. You'll see who the God of heaven is, who the God of this world is, who's the boss around here." Because they had taken on a very heavy, paganistic, ritualized religion, right? Started probably innocently enough, and then slowly but surely became instituted in there. And so Jezebel, who's really the embodiment of the spiritual wickedness of the kingdom at the time, not really the king. I mean, Ahab was a bad guy, don't get me wrong, but he was like really childish, you know? He was the one that, as a king, went and sent messenger to a guy to try to get his vineyard, right? He said, "Oh, it's the best vineyard. I'd really love to, you know, buy that from you or get it from you." And the guy sent a message back and said, "I'm not selling you anything." And Ahab pitched a little fit, like a little baby, and was like moping and carrying on. Now, it probably wouldn't have gone further than that. Jezebel's the one who sent down there and had people murdered. You know, if there's a close representation to these kind of people in the earth today, it would probably be, I don't know, the Clintons, you know, Bill carrying on and moping and behaving like a beast, and Hillary following up after him, murdering and killing people behind him, right? That would be the comparison of it, okay? She was the seat of spiritual wickedness in the land. She was where it dwelt, so much so that God later, in Book of Revelation, revealing to John, said, "That you got that prophetess Jezebel teaching in my church," right? And so the reason that he brings that up is to caution them against what happens or what had happened in the land when Jezebel was in charge. And Jezebel started instituting and keeping prophets of Baal, and prophets of the groves, and instituted wicked worship throughout the land, idols and all sorts of evil things. And when they were prophets of Baal, these were ministers that were on the king's payroll, right? They ate at the table. They were state. They were kept by the state. Scripture says that, I'm not going to forget which king it was under, but that the basest and lowest men were taken and made ministers to the Lord in this system, right? How many know that today you can just pay 50 or 100 bucks and take a test online and become a minister and start ministering? That's how a lot of these so-called reverends and ministers that are out there today are running their gamut, their scams. Doesn't take very much to do. God forbade me from that. He said, if you can't know that I've ordained you and chosen you and put my words in your mouth, then no piece of paper is going to convince. And if the people that you speak to can't be convinced that I have my words are in your mouth and that you're not speaking for me, then neither will a piece of paper convince them. And the people that are convinced by a piece of paper need to repent completely and turn to God, because that is not how we judge whether somebody speaks for God or not.